So how many mothers do we have here today? Would you raise your hands? We want to honor you. Today's Mother's Day. So all the most, Father, I thank you. We pray your blessing on each one of these mothers. I thank you, Father, for your continued blessings on their life. I thank you for their love for their family, for their children. It's a hard job and it's a hard calling. But Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. So strengthen them, protect them, encourage them. And we pray blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I wanted to talk about someone who's not a hero. She's a shiro, because it's a she. And you may not think much about this person being a hero because of where she came from. I felt like the Lord gave this message to me. Pastor Jonathan was supposed to be preaching this morning, and he took the youth down to a place called Rush. It's like a youth camp in Macon. So our youth are down there celebrating, and he texted me last night that three of them came to the Lord last night. So isn't that exciting? So we praise God for that. Amen. It's hard to be a youth today. Ooh, I can't imagine. But you know what? God's even greater. Amen. So that's good news. So he said, will you preach? And I'm like, yeah, and as soon as I was praying about it, I heard what I felt like I was going to preach on, because most of us don't think of this person being a mother. We know Rahab the harlot, right? When I first met Kathy, and you have to know Kathy because there is no filter. She is filterless, right? And so we were sitting in Panera, and she goes, oh, I've been doing the study of the Bible. We usually say harlot instead of that word, but I think God specifically uses people to confound, well, he says he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So we don't know much about her background, except that she was in a city called Jericho. Now, I was in Israel last year, and I saw Jericho and where the ruins are. Now it's a regular city, but you can go up to the ruins, and it's very high because it was built as a walled city. And Jericho's, the walls around it were so big that they used to have chariot races on top of the walls. So they were huge. And Rahab's house was built inside of the wall of Jericho. So it's interesting. It wasn't further back. It was built inside of it. And if you know the story about what took place, that's pretty important. Because that means when the wall crumbles, guess whose home was going to crumble? But God saved her. The rest of the wall fell, but because of her faith, her place and her family were saved and were not damaged. It's pretty amazing. So I want to look at this. So this is a setting of how Jericho would be, and you can see there would be houses against along the wall. So that's the setting of Jericho. But there are three oughts of Rahab. She brought sin, she brought her faith, and she sought favor, not fortification. So she brought sin. It's easy to do. Now, she was a prostitute. She was a harlot. So there was some sin going on there. She brought her faith, and then she sought favor, not fortification. A lot of times we try to fortify instead of just seeking favor. We try to protect instead of just seeking favor. We try to get numb the pain instead of just seeking favor of God. So we're going to go into a lot of this scripture. So get ready. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. So we'll set it up. So Joshua, who actually in Hebrew his name would be Jesus, Yeshua. So Joshua is representative of Jesus. Now you had Moses, who came to the brink of taking the children through Israel, 40 years in the wilderness. Moses represented the law. So that's really the Ten Commandments, the law. So that's really what Moses represented. But then they could not go into the promised land. Do you know you can't go into the promise of God because following the law? It's only going to be through Jesus. So Joshua's a representation of really grace in Jesus. And so everybody had to wait till all the ones who were with Moses passed away and then enter into the promised land. One of the promises was that Jericho and some of the cities of their enemies would be taken by the children of Israel. So here Joshua is, and he's learned from the past. You know, you can learn from the past. Don't just say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Learn from our mistakes. So what had happened was Moses, they had sent in 12 spies, but only two really had the vision. So Joshua's smart. He just sent in two from the beginning. He's like, I'm not going to go through the whole 12 thing. I'm going to send in two. So that's what it says. It says, so Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent out two men as spies. Go, look over the land, check out Jericho. They left and arrived at the house of Rahab the harlot and stayed there. So because her house was built in the wall, that's one of the first places they came to. Now think about this. These are two strange men coming into the city. They don't want to be discovered. It's probably one of the better places to go to would be a house like this, because a lot of men are entering that house and they wouldn't be noticed. So that's one of the reasons I think God chose her and chose that location, so they go in there. Now the next verse says, the king of Jericho was told, we've just learned that men arrived tonight to spy out the land. They're from the people of Israel. The king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you to stay the night in your house. They're spies. They've come to spy out the whole country. Rahab had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, two men did come to me, but I didn't know where they had come from. But at dark, when the gate was about to shut, the men left, but I have no idea where they went. So she's telling the king not exactly the truth, right? This is one of the scriptures about lying, but it's okay. She's doing it for God. It's kind of like when I do weddings, I always say, there's one lie you can always tell. You always tell the truth except one time. If your wife or husband says, honey, does this make me look fat? You always say, no, dear, it looks wonderful. So that's one of those other kind of Rahab lies. So hurry up, chase them. Can you see her? So they've left. So hurry up, chase them, run. Yes, you can still catch them. She had actually taken them on the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that were spread out for her on the roof. So the men set chase down the Jordan River toward the fords. And that's not Chevy's, it's fords towards the area. As soon as they were gone, the gate was shut. So in those buildings, they had flat roofs. And you would always put your grain on top of the roof because it's where you would store your stuff. So she had a lot of things up there, so it was a perfect place to hide them underneath all of the grain up there. So here they are going after them. Before the spies were down for the night, the woman, who is Rahab, came up to them on the roof and said, I know. Now that's not the word I think. I know is I know. Her spirit knew. It says, I know that God has given you the land. We're all afraid. Everyone in this country feels hopeless. We've heard how God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you. When you left Egypt, and what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you put under a holy curse and destroyed. We heard it, and our hearts sank. We all had the wind knocked out of us, and all because of you, you and God, your God, God of the heavens above, and God of the earth below. So God has a reputation, and his reputation has preceded him into Jericho. So, and I think, even though you hear about God and the great things he does, not everybody receives that or knows that. But she had that faith that when she heard it, she goes, I know that this God is true. Now promise me. So they're on the roof, hiding, and she's saying, now I know you're a God. Now promise me, by God, I showed you mercy, now show my family mercy. I love the fact that she had her whole family. It wasn't just her. And give me some tangible proof, a guarantee of life for my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, everyone connected with my family. Save our souls from death. Our lives for your lives, said the men, but don't tell anyone our business. This is from the Message Bible. Don't tell anyone our business. When God turns this land over to us, we'll do right by you in loyal mercy. She lowered them down out of a window with a scarlet rope, because her house was on the city wall to the outside. So there's a red rope that she had, which is significant of the blood. So she lowered them in the red rope. Now, how many of you know that rope is your lifeline? Leviticus says life is in the blood. So she lowered them from a place of danger in a place of safety with that red cord. And she says, she lowered them down out of a window with a scarlet rope because her house was on the city wall to the outside. She told them, run for the hills so your pursuers won't find you. Hide out for 3 days. Three always means resurrection. Hide out for 3 days and give your pursuers time to return. Then get on your way. The men told her, in order to keep this oath you made with you made us swear, here is what you must do. Hang this scarlet red rope out the window through which you let us down and gather your entire family with you in your house. Father, mother, brothers, and sisters. Anyone who goes out the doors of your house into the street and is killed, it's his own fault. We aren't responsible. But for everyone within the house, we take full responsibility. If anyone lays a hand on one of them, it's our fault. But if you tell anyone of our business here, the oath you made us swear is canceled. We're no longer responsible. So they're saying, we're going to hold to our promise. What do you have to do? You have to tie this red cord in your window so that the children of Israel will know that's the house that's not going to be destroyed. That's going to be the safety. She said, if that's what you say, that's the way it is, and sent them off. They left, and she hung the scarlet rope out the window. They headed for the hills and stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers had returned. The pursuers had looked high and low, but found nothing. The men headed back. They came down out of the hills, crossed the river, and returned to Joshua, son of Nun, and reported all their experiences. They told Joshua, yes, God has given the whole country to us. Everybody there is in a state of panic because of us. So what we can take away from this, no matter what your background is, the blood can save you. So if you go on with the story, that was the only house that was not destroyed because of that red blood hanging out of the window, that cord. This is what Paul says. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in this kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. Neither those who steal, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is who some of you were. I love that. And then it says, but God. So he's talking about all the stuff that we used to be. But God, who is rich and in mercy, has washed you and sanctified you and justified you in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse. So he's saying, you were like this, but God has changed you. We can't change ourselves. You can try to do the law as much as you could, but if you don't have that cord tied to the window of your heart, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Two, she had to do something. So she had to tie the scarlet rope in the window. There was something that she had to do in order to be saved. Here it says in Deuteronomy, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside your children. Talk about them whenever you are sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to the time you fall to bed at night. Tie them to your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on your doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. So it takes tying that cord to your life. He didn't use scotch tape. Jensen Franklin says that. Rahab didn't use scotch tape when she had that cord in her window. She tied that. So it takes our will saying, God, I'm going to tie this. And let me tell you, as soon as you tie it, there's going to be something come along to try to yank that out the window. And that first knot may not be good enough. You might say, God, I'm going to tie this a little tighter. You see, your faith's going to waver sometimes. There's going to be some issues. But let me tell you, he will never, ever allow that car to slip out of that window. Just keep tying and tying and tying. I'm going to muddle through. No matter what I'm facing, I'm going to tie another knot. And then here comes something else. Nope, here comes another knot. Because I know whom I believe. And I know where my faith is locked in. And I know he is my fortress. And he is the one that will lead me through every situation. He is God and I will trust him. Nothing is seems too difficult for him, and you are God. And even when the times come and the waves come, he's the sure thing that's holding us through the times of trouble, that's holding us through times of difficulty. He is that secure anchor for us. So we tie that cord to the doorpost of our heart because he is good. That's good preaching. Woo! He's a good God. If you don't hear anything today, know that that cord is going to hold. Our anchor will hold. Amen. Her faith pardoned her from destruction. In Hebrews 11, this is what it says. By an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, she is called the harlot throughout Scripture. And I'm thinking, really, God? I mean, she got saved. So she changed, but the rest of her life she's known as a harlot. But I don't know if she really minds that, because I think she thinks that's really why people knew who she was. And it's okay. It's okay to be this person who used to be a drunkard. It's okay to be a person who used to be an addict. Kathy and Blake in our church, they were both addicts for years. And they went through the program and they are clean. And now Kathy talks to 30-something girls every day about addiction. And so if she hid that from her life, she wouldn't be able to minister to more people. So you don't have to hide your past. It's okay, because you know we're all sinners saved by grace. And so it doesn't matter where you came from. It matters where we're going, and we know where we're going because he's the one that's leading us. So it says, by an act of faith, Rahab the Jericho harlot welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. It was by her faith that she moved forward. And it says, Rahab made the very first chapter in the New Testament. It says, by an act of faith, Rahab the Jericho harlot welcomed the spies. And then it goes into something that's very important. Can you hit the next one? This is the very first chapter in the New Testament. The very first book coming from the law to grace is the book of Matthew. And it says this. Can we go back? There you go. It says, Abraham had Isaac. So it's genealogy. Abraham had Isaac and Jacob. Jacob had Judah and his brothers. Judah had Perez and Zerah. His mother was Tamar. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Aaron. Aaron had Aminadab. Aminadab had Nahshon. Nahshon had Salom. Now, Salom was interesting because he was the captain of the tribe of Judah. It's not Salmon. It's Salmon, or we can say Salmon. He was different. He was the captain of the tribe of Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. It's the tribe of praise. There were 12 tribes. Judah was the tribe of praise. That's the tribe that the Messiah was going to come out of. So we're getting closer to the Messiah's lineage. And his name is Salmon. He was the captain of the tribe of Judah. Now let's look at that. Salmon had Boaz. You remember Boaz from Ruth? So Salmon was the father of Boaz. And his mother was Rahab. It doesn't say the harlot at this point. His mother was Boaz's, related to Boaz as the husband, that's who was with Rahab, Salmon. So she's in the lineage of Christ. We go further, and it says, Obed had Jesse, Jesse had David, and David became king. They're in that lineage of Jesus. So he took a harlot who was not even a Jew from some other country, some other nation, and grafted her into the vine of the very lineage of Jesus Christ. That's grace. Amen? Amen. If you will look further into this, it excites me, because if you look at where she came from, she was one of the first non-Jewish people grafted into the vine of Christ. And God did that because of her faith. The Bible says that you're grafted into the vine of Christ. And what they used to do for grafting, they would actually cut the vine and they would put cut the branches, and they would put them into the vine. So they would make a slit inside of a vine, and they would take, maybe you had the olive tree that was this pure, certain type of olive tree, and they would take another one from another olive tree, and they would cut that branch, and they would make a slit inside the one olive tree that they wanted to graft the vine in. And he would take the branch, and they would put it into that olive tree, and they would bind it together. They would bind it so that that branch would be inside of the trunk of that original olive tree. So the foreign olive branch was now inside the one olive tree. And because it was bound together, it would take root and it would grow into that tree. The Bible says you were grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have Jewish blood because his blood flows through your veins. He took us and he cut us from our original tree. Remember, he makes all things new. He cut us and he placed us into the vine of Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit comes and binds around us and holds us in that place together in the vine of Jesus. That's grace. So today, I want you, if your mother's still here, I want you to make sure you thank your mother and you bless your mother. If your mother's in heaven, you can still tell her because she's hearing you. But know that God has taken you from your earthly family and put you in a spiritual family. And that's why when Pastor Deb said this morning, I want to do something different. I want to have more of a family time because we weren't born from the same mother, but we sure have the same father. And we are grafted into one family together. And so I want to bless each one of you today in Jesus' name. Would we just bow our heads? Father, we thank you for the family that we have from different cities, different countries, different places. We have people from Colombia, from Mexico, from Birmingham, from Hiawassee, Seattle, California, all over the country. And you've made us one. Because of the blood of Jesus, you make us one. So I bless each one here today. I thank you for your continued goodness in their life and your faithfulness in their life. We love you, Jesus, because you are good and your mercy endures forever. So we thank you for the example of Rahab, that even in the midst of all of that turmoil, she trusted in you and she hung that cord in our window. So Father, we hang that cord today in the windows of our heart, saying our anchor will hold. No matter what happens, you're going to be there for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.